those things, but that Canaan was a city under God's condemnation. And in some ways, I feel like we can relate to that. Rahab was a woman of courage, she was a woman of faith, and she was a woman of redemption because God brought her out of filth and pain and sin. And she can see God because she recognized what she was without God. I concluded that Canaan, in all of its worldliness, is exactly like what we live in, and we also are a city under God's condemnation. Just when you think, though, you're going to lose heart, and we think it's too filthy to even continue on thinking about it, I just want you to kind of just sit there for a minute, just pause there for a minute and think about that. I know we shouldn't dwell that much on our circumstances, but I think when we do that, we often realize how thankful we are that we aren't really a part of this world. You know, we live here, and our world is full of harlotry and idolatry, and there's horrible things going on all around us all the time, and we've done horrible things, and we come from horrible circumstances as Rahab. And as much as we don't always want to dwell on this, it's good to understand what we were rescued from. And I think that's what made Rahab so special, is that she understood it. She really got it. She really understood the gospel message. He always seeks the righteous out. That's how faithful God is. He always seeks the righteous out. He is a pursuer of those who call upon him. And I don't know if you've ever felt pursued, but I felt so pursued by God in some of my loneliest and darkest and scariest moments. I felt God pursuing me, and it's such an amazing feeling. You know, I know that sometimes as women and girls, we want to understand the pursuit of a man. I want him to pursue me. That's great, and that I understand that, but so much better to have been pursued by God Almighty. And you know that for those of you that are Christians, that God pursued each one of you. You wouldn't be welcomed into his family without what a great pursuer he is. He loves his people, and he doesn't hold your past against you. And Rahab is considered a hero in the faith, and so are you, because of him, because of his faithfulness. Sin has no more hold on you. And although the Bible continually brings out Rahab as a harlot, it's because it shows God's amazing grace. What set her apart was her conversion. I'm sorry, not confusion. She got it. And what he did for her. So my outline tonight is: the first point is she believed. The second point is she was bold. The third point is she was obedient. And the fourth point is she was honored. So let's go to the text. In Joshua 1, verses 1 through 7, she believed. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, I'm sorry, Joshua 2, not 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone, they shut the gate. So why Rahab's house? Jericho was seemingly impenetrable, right? There was walls covering it. It was a great battleground if you were on Jericho's side. And Rahab lived in an inn within the city walls, which seemed like the safest place. Her house was considered, quite possibly, the safest place to go, but not so safe as to word not getting out. Word gets out fast, right? There's these two spies, and people are talking. And so, yes, it was a safe place, but word got out. But by the direction of the Holy Spirit, God led these two spies to her house. And that's how the Lord works. He doesn't usually work for just one purpose, but several purposes. She provided protection for the spies, but God provided protection for her. And Rahab would become, as we know, a very important woman to all of us because she is in the lineage of Jesus. So who is Rahab? Rahab means broad, wide, and spacious. And I believe, at first I didn't like that description of her. I was like, wait a second. But then I thought a little bit more about it, and God is really just showing me a lot. I believe that that name is significant, and here is why. Because Rahab's sin was wide and broad and spacious, and so was God's grace. Ephesians 3:14 through 19 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Sin is bondage, right? It strangles the life out of you. And idolatry is confining and it's unfulfilling. But freedom comes from Jesus. Rahab was a prostitute. And that means, as you know, that she used her body sexually for money. But think about this. Rahab is a foreshadowing of the church. She was a pagan prostitute, an idol worshiper, but she was redeemed as the bride of Christ, such as us, by the God of Israel. She received the spies as Christ received the Gentiles, all of us. Faith is a verb, and it requires action. I'm an English nerd, and I really like to think about that. What does it mean to be faithful? I know it doesn't mean to just sit still, right? Because James explains it to us. In James chapter 2, it says, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Rahab was in the know, right? She had heard about the God of the Hebrews probably from her frequent visitors. She knew that God had rescued them from Egypt, and she knew that God had parted the Red Sea. She knew that God had overthrown Sihon and Og, and in that, God was opening her heart to his truths. And even though she was in a lifestyle of evil, God began to speak to her, such as for you and for me. When it's the darkest out is when the light shines the brightest, right? And if you think back, some of you might have gotten saved when you were really young, but for those of us who didn't, if you think back to where you were when God rescued you, you know that you were in the darkest. And it's different for all of us, right? Some of us had to go to the depths, the darkest places, for us to understand God's love. But that's where he's the brightest. And you know how the Bible tells us, for those who have been forgiven much, love much? That's why. Because we understand darkness. Rahab understood darkness. She knew what it was like to be a harlot, to be an idol worshiper. Her whole life. Can you imagine living in Canaan? Did you guys think about that while you were doing your homework? Did you imagine what Canaan was like? It's pretty heavy. People were offering their children to Molech in the courtyards of Canaan. That's why God shined the brightest in a heart like Rahab's. That's why she's so special, is she understood. She knew what she was like without him. She knew God Almighty sent those spies. She knew that that was her rescue. She was bold, is the second point. Joshua 2:8 says, "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.' So the men answered her, 'Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you.' Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, 'Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way.'" Rahab's faith. She heard the works of God and she believed them. Interestingly, the children of Israel had not only heard the works of God, they'd experienced the works of God firsthand and still fell into idolatry and grumbling. And here's this woman from Canaan, this harlot, that heard and accepted the words of God and gave up her harlotry. It made me think of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil in Luke 7. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Rahab is one of the three women that are mentioned in the Hall of Faith. I'm sorry, one of the three women that are mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. She is in the Hall of Faith. She's mentioned in Matthew 1, and she's mentioned in James, and they all mention her faith. Where we would call her a liar and a harlot, God called her faithful. Rahab's courage. Rahab wasn't afraid to ask big things of a big God. Do you hesitate ever on big things from God? Do you think he's not capable? Or do you feel shy or insecure about asking him for the biggies? You know? Not the, can you help me get there safely, but the big thing. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And James 4:2 says, "Yet you do not have because you do not ask." Rahab wasn't afraid of that. Rahab's strength. Have you ever thought about how one woman lowered two men from a window? I was imagining myself tying a rope around my waist and imagining doing that. You know, the power of a Christian doesn't come from our physical strength, right? We saw that in the life of Samson. That fatal haircut isn't what did Samson in. What did him in is that he didn't believe in the power of God and it left him. The Greek word for power is dunamis, and it explains the supernatural strength of God in the creation. Dunamis is like, say, dynamite, and it's what lives within us as Christians. If I took a rope and I threw it out of Cammie's room, which is on our second story in our house, if I threw that rope over and I had it wrapped around my waist, right? I'm a visual person, so I'm imagining me, and then I tried to lower Pastor John and my husband, Paul, out her window, they would get out the window. And so would I. We'd all three be flat. It'd be a mess. We'd be dead. We wouldn't live to tell about it, right? I'm imagining Pastor John would get like a foot on the windowsill, and I would probably rush out ahead of him. Like, I'd be like, woo! You know? Wouldn't it work out? But see, that's what God does. He gives us the power to do what he's called us to do. We might not all be called to lower people out second-story windows, or I'm assuming that Rahab's inn was a lot higher up than a second-story window. So she had a lot further to drop those men if God didn't empower her, but he did empower her. And that's what you need to think about. That's what he empowered Rahab to do, because that was Rahab's calling. But what's your calling? What is he empowering you to do? And are you going to be a woman like Rahab that has the faith to do it? So if God's telling you, I want you to go to that stranger in Subway and tell them about me, and I'm going to give you the power, the dunamis, the dynamite power to do that, are you going to have the faith to do it? Are you going to say, like, I'm not good at that kind of thing, God? What would happen if Rahab said, I'm not good at that kind of thing? Like, I'm little. They're big. These are men. What would happen? That would be a problem. Big problem. The spies would have never made it back to rescue the children of Israel. Rahab's family would have been lost. Like, the whole thing would have been a big, hot mess, and we wouldn't have them. We wouldn't have this story at all. And we wouldn't have Rahab's blood in the lineage of Jesus, which is super important to us as Gentiles, right? That's the thing you need to understand. When God calls you to something, he equips you. You don't have to be strong. You think of a little Mighty Mouse, right? Why was he mighty? He believed he was bigger than he was, right? That's the thing. It's not about you. It's about God. You're not good at things. You're not equipped. You just need to get over that. None of us are. But God is good. And he has dynamite power that he's empowering you with. If you will just do it, and you'll be blown away at the things you get to do. If you just do it. Stop doubting God. So if you're feeling weak and unable and ill-equipped, then you need to remember, just think dynamite. We have a dynamite God, a dynamic God, and he does not call you to the mundane. He equips you for the extraordinary. God and the spies did not need Rahab, and he doesn't need you. But he's going to let you be used by him. And he's going to supply you the power if you'll just remember that he's the God that parted the Red Sea, like Rahab remembered. So what is God nudging on your heart tonight? What are you thinking about? Because that's what you need to do. If you have a nudge on your heart from the Holy Spirit, you need to do it. Don't leave here and just be like, all right, I'm going to do it, and then get in your car and say like, well, no, I was just saying that. I'm not really going to do that. No, do it. Follow through. You're going to be blown away. Because Rahab did it, now we can have a point that says Rahab's wisdom. She was wise because she obeyed God. She sent the spies off to the west and wisely told them to wait there 3 days. And did you know that the 3 biblically is a lot like the 7 biblically? It also means completeness and perfection. 3 days was just golden. It was so wise. God gave her that wisdom. And when the king's men came to her and said, like, where are the spies? Where do we go? Where did she send them? She sent them east, right? Back to the city gates. What a beautiful picture. You know, the east from the west is as far as possible away from each other, right? How far does God say that he separates us from our sin? As far as the east is from the west. What a beautiful picture that is. The king's men, they had nothing on what God was doing. Those spies were safe because they went as far away as possible from their pursuers. Rahab was wise. She was also obedient. The third point. Let's pick it up in verse 17. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whatever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen him. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Rahab didn't waste any time. When my kids were young, I used to tell them, delayed obedience is disobedience. Did any of your parents used to say that? Rahab didn't delay because she had faith. She believed it was going to happen. She knew the walls were going to crumble. She didn't know how it was going to happen. She didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, but she knew it was going to happen, and she didn't tarry. She gathered her family into her home, and she hung that scarlet cord from that windowsill because she believed it was going to happen, and she was in a hurry to obey God. Are you in a hurry to obey God? Do you know our friend Pastor Brian from Haiti? He's our missionary friend in Haiti, and he has this tremendous calling on his life. And God has equipped him and anointed him and blessed him abundantly for his faithfulness to Haiti and for his faithfulness to obey God. God gave Pastor Brian this vision of exactly what he wanted to do with him in Haiti, and that was to train up young Timothys, which are basically pastors within the country, to go and plant churches. And it's amazing because there are so many church plants with missionaries within the country, and the word of God is being spread like wildfire, and people are getting saved in, I don't even have the numbers. It's just tremendous. But one time he was here in the States, and he was speaking at a church, and he was giving his testimony and sharing this vision that God had given him. And a lady walked up to him, and she said, you know, funny as it is, but more sad than funny, is God gave that exact same vision to my husband for Haiti several years ago, and my husband didn't obey. He didn't do it. So Pastor Brian is reaping the fruit from another person's ministry because that man didn't do it. God, he's going to use somebody. He's faithful to use somebody. But are you faithful to be the one used? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Rahab's scarlet cord. The rope was made of flax, and it was bound tightly together, and she hung the cord from her windowsill. And harlots' windowsills, the sills were painted bright red, which signified their job. So everyone knew, here's Rahab's house on the city wall, everyone knew that she was a harlot due to the windowsill being painted bright red. So when she hung that scarlet cord over that windowsill, it formed a cross. And that is the very picture of redemption and salvation. I actually drew it out for myself so I could imagine what it looked like. And also the cross represents Passover, right? So all four, in Passover, all four corners were sprinkled with blood, right? Which also forms a cross, which signifies God's protection because the cross saves from destruction. And so, therefore, the cord, the scarlet cord, represents the gospel and the good news. And it's a witness of truth. So here is that scarlet windowsill now covered in the blood of the Lamb. This beautiful symbol. Rahab's house was noticeably different than the other houses once that cord was hung. And I'm asking you, the question I've asked myself all week, is my house noticeably different? When people come to my house, is it different than if they went to my next door neighbor's house or my neighbor across the street or someone they met at the park? Is my house noticeably different? Does my house represent the good news? Does my house show that God is divinely faithful? I want my house that I want passerbys, onlookers, visitors, people that I welcome in, people that are walking down my street, I want them to know that my house is a representation of God Almighty. That's what Rahab's was. That's what yours needs to be. That's what mine needs to be. Is we need to be noticeably different. In our house, just our tent, our body, we need to be noticeably different as well. Rahab, who used her body for sin, now bore the light of redemption. She was honored. If you want to turn to Joshua 6:22. Says, "But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her.' And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife, who was fleeing the destruction because of God's grace, right? She looked back at the city And she looked back at it because she was longing for that city rather than longing for God's grace. She wanted the world, and it cost her her life. But Rahab, who was also being rescued from a city that was about to be destroyed by God's grace, she may have looked back. I don't know. I think she might have. But I think as she saw that wall crumbling and her city being destroyed, she was thinking, that is my old life. I am no longer a part of that. I think that's a very symbolic thing. And I think we need to look at that. I'm not that person anymore. I don't want to be like Lot's wife. I don't want to have this longing for the world, this desire that was so fun. I want to be a part of it. No, I want to look back in that and say, I don't even know that girl anymore. That's what Rahab did. She didn't even know that girl anymore because she was brought into the family of God. Rahab received God's promises, and we as his children also should. The spies were true to their word, and they rescued Rahab and her family. And Rahab was brought into the family of God and is evidence of God not forsaking the Gentiles. Warren Wiersbe, a commentator, explained the reason for them being put outside the camp, because I was really tripped up for like 3 days on why were they put outside the camp. And I kind of knew in my heart, but I really wanted like in depth about that. And what Warren Wiersbe says is Rahab and her relatives were put outside the camp initially because they were unclean Gentiles, and outside the camp was the place designated for the unclean. The men in the family would have to be circumcised in order to become sons of the covenant, and all the family would have to submit to the law of Moses. What grace that God spared Rahab and her loved ones. And what abundant grace that he chose her, an outcast Gentile, to be an ancestress of the Savior. What a beautiful picture of how God saw fit to have the blood of a Gentile in the DNA of the Savior of the world. That's very good news for us. Like I said earlier, we're not just adopted into God's family, we're actually grafted in to God's family. And so we know Rahab married Salmon. And then if you look through the genealogy, Rahab and Salmon married, and they think that possibly it was, and that Salmon maybe was one of the spies, which would be cool. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But they are the parents of Boaz, and we know that Boaz married Ruth, a Moabitess, and they're the parents of Obed, who's the father of Jesse and the grandfather of King David. And we know that that leads to Jesus Christ. Rahab was the recipient of God's love, grace, and favor because she believed. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So my prayer for you as we close this out is that you will be the recipient of his great plan by having the courage, the boldness, and the faith to follow him like Rahab did. Let's pray.